WBAI family, another longtime and Lower East Side housing activist, Mary Ann Miller, has died. She had contracted COVID plus pneumonia. She was in the COVID ICU at Bellevue, where she died. Philip and Van Ever had known Mary Ann for decades.
I haven't seen very much of her recently. I have known her since the early 1980s. I was a member of the steering committee of Third Avenue Tenants, which she was a founding member of. We had a falling out recently because I'm not in favor of commercial rent control. There's not enough money to administer the residential segment of it, let alone extending it to commercial rent. Marianne and I have gone through quite a bit together.
Philip Van Ever, a longtime WBAI listener, resident of the Lower East Side, and friend to Mary Ann Miller. And that's some of the news for Friday, April 30th, 2021. The news is produced by Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. From New York City, I'm Paul DiRienzo. Thanks for listening.
Sponsored radio, WBAI, and it's time for Real World. Mike Sargent, I'm going to do something that I rarely get to do here, which is devote most of this program to just one interview. And the interview is for a new film by a filmmaker who is also a choreographer, a ballerina, and a Scottish dance champion, Laura Carruthers. The synopsis for the film, Grace Fury, is filmmaker, choreographer, ballerina, and Scottish dance champion, Laura Carruthers, leads world-class performing artists in the stunning Grace Fury. It's a feature film that travels the elements of her personal story as an artist on a breathtaking flight of dynamic choreography, cinematography, realization, and resolve. It's a reflection of Laura's years of pioneering in the arts. Grace Fury speaks both poetically and candidly to the challenge of building independent projects outside, between, and across domains as a woman, shouldering her homage to the classical and Celtic dance, yet bound to move hearts and minds to a new point of shared calling, of greater freedom and connection. The fighting, free spirit of her dance and message is evident in this exuberant, inspirational, and thoughtfully crafted performing arts film. Now, that's the official synopsis, and generally those things are a little bit hyperbole. But I would say in this case, it's not. It's definitely not a traditional film. It's not a traditional dance film. It's not a traditional documentary. It's a blend of storytelling methods within the genre of film. And it's both personal and historical. It's both cultural and individual. I got a chance to speak with Laura Carruthers, and I brought with me a very special co-host who had an insight also to dance and filmmaking.
Burst of freedom against gravity,
and yet a bond with place
in strict obedience.
They tell me
I can dance.
Let's get lost.
Anywhere.
Anywhere beyond these shores. And I'll summon good spirits.
Spirits.
I cruise to higher ground. Not really. Out here, dark energies and dark matters still dancing. Ever a fight. My emotions.
Let them dance.
Let them dance. Bring new rush and glow and warmth to my body. Now it's time to soar. No illusions. Projects in dominance will continue.
Our night is over.
I have to go.
I have work to do.
I would say focus on the couples. I want to see more feet.
Why the effort?
You know, I still wonder,
will it work?
Against the wind.
Against the wind.
Against the wind.
It only comes to this.
I am here with filmmaker, choreographer, ballerina, six-time U.S. Scottish dance champion, Laura Carruthers. And she's got her new film, which is the main reason why I'm here, called Grace Fury, which just came out on virtual cinemas on April 20th. Laura, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Marianne Hettinger, my co-host. She is a dancer and filmmaker, and you are a dancer and filmmaker. Because I'm an artist, and I believe that as an artist, whatever form you decide to create art in, you're going to take it to some level of excellence. You're going to put it your stamp on it. You may not do what everybody else does, but you're an artist, so you do that. So, one, I want you to speak to that a little bit, just expressing yourself in more than one medium. But more importantly, I want to know, what does dance mean to you, and what do you get out of dance? Because you've done so much with it. It's part of who you are.
Well, I think dance is one of those incredible experiences as a human being. Nothing really like it. The way in which it connects us to physically being, you know, in the cosmos and experiencing life. I also find it, as in terms of an art form, wonderfully integrative. It's very much between other arts. I enjoy working through the arts in terms of music, and as you're noting, through film, and it applies so well to so many other art forms. It has conversations with those other art forms. It's not it's not something in isolation. In other words, it's already kind of inherently an integrative form of expression. So for me, it's just been an exuberant experience all around to be able to dance and physically connect in a way that maybe other more abstract realms don't give you that real connection to being alive and being here. So for me, it's basically divine, if you will.
I understand. And what about working in other mediums? And I mean, definitely dance is collaborative, but filmmaking is incredibly collaborative. And just so the audience understands, you're in the film. You've done the choreography of the film. So you directed it, you produced it, you're reading prose, and you edited it as well. So these are pretty complete visions. So what does film allow you to do? Because I see it all as storytelling. To me, at its core, dance is storytelling, whether it's, as you say, you know, sharing it with the stars or, you know. So what are your thoughts on working in other mediums, and what does film give you the ability to do?
It's interesting because I see film in the same way that I sometimes see stage. I see it more as a platform. This is why I have sometimes trouble explaining this or communicating with people that are in, say, the film festival realms and what have you, that have oftentimes said things like, well, you know, dance, that's fine, but I you know, that should just be kind of a live experience. That's and literally said that. And my thought is that film is very much a medium. It's a platform for which you as an artist can apply all kinds of languages. And what goes into that film becomes very much your vision. So I feel it's very freeing. You can certainly do so much with it. It's a bit more lasting than you would say maybe stage work, which I've also done a lot of producing of stage work. And there's just a difference. The fantastic part of stage is, of course, the live moment, that experience. It's very ephemeral. It's very momentary, obviously. But so for me, film just opens up all kinds of avenues because you can go in, as you said, any number of directions, and you can apply things you've done before. You know, you can take it on location. You can go where you need to, and you can direct people very much to where your focus is. So I think it's actually more of a director's medium because you really are honing your audience into specifically an area at any given moment. You're saying, this is what I found fascinating, or this captured me. It's a little different than sitting in an audience, you know, in a theater and just presenting an overall picture and allowing the audience to find whatever they perhaps focus on at any moment. Fascinating. So I think it's a wonderful, I chose it. I have done a lot of work, as I say, in the stage realm, but I chose very quickly or understood very quickly that utilizing film to communicate and get a broader audience was really going to be key in terms of exposure and more communication and conversations with people around the globe with that. It certainly opens up those possibilities in a way that stage does not. So,
well, that's a great answer. I think at its core, film is really capturing performances and scenes to help tell a story. So
yes.
There's really no difference. So I'm going to throw to Marianne. Marianne, I know you had some questions for.
Yes, first of all, thank you so much for making this film that is not just a celebration of dance, but a celebration of life. It's amazing. I just sat there. I didn't do any looking on the internet. I just wanted the film wash over me. And I was left with such hope at the end. I felt really hopeful and excited. And I got a sense of you, your history in Scotland and the Highland dance combined with the ballet, which is incredible technique. I've never seen in all my years somebody dance like you.
Oh, really? Wow. That's a compliment.
You have this amazing, the combination, it's so unique because you have this amazing ballet technique. You have all the technique and facility and high jumps and quick footwork, but it's so organic. It's like your soul is flying. So, yeah. And then to see how you came into, and this is going to be my question about finding your dancers, the company, because at first I thought this is a company you've danced with for a while and you've been on stage with. So yeah. I know Jan Todd from the New York scene. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the film. Yeah. And I heard that he had worked with you before, but how did you find your dancers and how long was the rehearsal process? I heard that it was 10 days of shooting only, which is amazing.
Right.
Maybe you can talk about that and a little bit of when you came back to your roots after you were in Arizona. So that's two questions. First of all, the company. Yeah.
Right. Well, my company has always been very project-based. So I have always worked with dancers on a freelance basis, depending upon the kind of project. I've worked with John Todd and Seth Belliston over several projects we worked on together. But usually it's just an audition process to find out if, depending upon, as I say, what the project entails, how many. I've done very small projects that only have a few other dancers. I work with Canadian artists as well. And usually it's a process of both networking and already knowing some colleagues from my ballet background, people that I've reached out to that might be interested in their off time when they're not dancing with their companies. You know, that's part of it. But for this project in particular, I conducted auditions in Los Angeles and then did some remote auditioning in New York City. And with the help of some of the dancers that had already signed on, some of my colleagues, again, a networking process going on there. So the audition process wasn't too complex or too difficult. I mean, that happened very, very seamlessly. And the rehearsal time was only 10 half days. And the filming was actually, we did all of the filming on stage in about 6 days. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was tight. It was a really tight schedule. We all had to to really focus. And yeah, they were all just wonderful dancers, though. Very quick studies. And I love each one of them for the contributions they individually made to this. I mean, just the characters, it was very important to me. It wasn't always looking for someone who had the exact same technical as backgrounds as others. So I wanted that eclectic feel. I wanted to have different, some that have incredible theatrical presence. And, you know, I wanted that great fusion of all kinds of dance backgrounds in there. So yeah, it was a wonderful process, and they were all wonderful to work with. Very mature, you know, just lovely, lovely people.
One more question. Overall, when you had finished the film, and it feels like you come back to your roots, because we see you in Arizona. It felt like it was a homecoming of sorts. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, it is, but if you notice, I actually end up in a slightly different place. I am home, but I and this is where the spiral concept comes in. It's a story that is, I'm trying to create the form of the spiral, and that our journeys are expanding in awareness. And so many of our experiences over time are very parallel to where we've just been. You know, they're not always, our journeys do not happen in straight lines. So this idea of what the spiral represents, it can be something very cosmic, but it also has that expansive awareness happening in cyclical fashion or roundabout fashion. So I land home, but I'm also still yet in a different place. And the idea is that, well, there has been some growth. There has been some maturing and new understanding of how it is, and a new sense of resolve. So I you know, so it's a subtle difference, but yes, you're very right. It does come back to understanding we all have limits. We have to deal with also a degree of humility, and then from that find the strength and power to forge on, even, you know, so with our dreams, and try to incorporate and bring as many people into that as possible. So, yeah.
Tuned to listener-sponsored radio WBAI, and I'm speaking with filmmaker Laura Carruthers about her new film, Grace Fury. We've been taking a deep dive into her process, and you're listening to some of the score. Two-part question here. I tend to believe that as you define your art defines you. So, one, I want to know what you learned about yourself in the process of making this project in particular. And two, just the parallel, if you will, between exploring your heritage and the history of dance that you're connected to from your heritage, and then exploring your own history, your own past, your personal heritage, and that kind of marriage. What you gained from doing that?
I think it was, for me, very important to pull all of these pieces. It's not been an easy road. If I could just say, it's a part of why I did this was circumstances that made me think about how I could combine all projects from before into one comprehensive piece at this point. But then it was also very much the need to channel frustrations and all that you learn over time into a piece and share that with people. You know, to provide some kind of insight as to, here's my little microcosmic experience on this planet, and this is how I feel and what I've learned. And I think it was really important to, just from my own standpoint, because it has been such a challenge. And I've definitely learned that there's still you have to, for instance, you have to make room for a lot of compromise in these things. I think you can have a vision of what you want, and the idea is to get it as close to that as you can, but you also have to check yourself and realize that, you know, again, you're limited, you're bound to what you really can reasonably tackle, what you can do with the resources that you have, or that you're willing to, you know, float in terms of debt. So I think it's something that you're always, you know, it, I think it's a, it's another one of those points where this is, it, it's what I learned is that it's important enough to me to do it anyways. It's, I guess I still feel very impassioned that, I see, life as such a fleeting moment, a brief opportunity to contribute, as I say, contributor verse, borrowing from Walt Whitman. And I may call me a, you know, a little bit of a romantic in that, or, an idealist in that way, but I still feel I'm moved in those directions to just try things and do things and make the sacrifices that you have to in order to say, this is what I've learned, and this maybe can help someone else, maybe can inspire someone. So I've definitely learned I have that passion still. I think others would probably prefer if I would just move on from that, but you get that, it, you know, it doesn't always comport really with a lot of where the world is going, you know, which tends to, as I say, in the, my experiences within the unfortunately, in a lot of, the industry and the realm is that it's all become very, very business. It's everything is tailored towards that idea, and just art becoming something that's just another means to make some money. And so you need to check with us first to establish what kind of project you should make in order to really have it be successful or have it go anywhere. And you need to have, as I say, people that are known in the industry working on it, or you have to have the blessings of industry and all of this. And that's been very frustrating for me because it violates that whole initial passion, that desire to really want to say something, you know, you want to communicate. And I think it takes a lot of that away from art to just always focus constantly on the other. That's always putting you in a box or saying, you know, this is how it should be done. Hypothetical to what it means to be an artist. And, you know, maybe that's idealistic, but I found out that's where I'm at still. So yeah, it's,
well,
it's been a challenge.
You said something very specific about filmmakers, other filmmakers probably telling you, well, you know, film is not for right. this
yep.
or that right. because we're used to seeing, like what you said, the business part of film. You forget film is not just for this. Film can be just purely art. Film can be all these things right. as opposed to just three acts,
right.
inciting incident, you know, mm-hmm. documentary about this band. So I just want to know what you hope people to come away from your film with. What's your goal as an artist?
Well,
with this?
I hope that people will see that her being and the purpose, as I say, is greater really than the sum of her parts. I like to use that old concept from Aristotle. I think the idea that, you know, maybe if they might open their hearts to see her authenticity, her complexity and her wholeness, you know, and at least tolerate it, if not appreciate it, even if it's not, you know, dance may not be, or the style I've chosen may not be your particular cup of tea, but I think we're losing that sense of being able to appreciate someone's perspective, incredible expertise they've developed and built over the years, and, you know, their willingness to go out and say, okay, this is what I've learned and what I want to share. I think to just have that openness, that tolerance, as I say, I think art really can lead the way in a lot of these areas for which, you know, socially we need to see improvement. I think art can do this as well. So I'm hoping that people will understand, and, you know, that there's so much, as I say, that we see that is, you know, it's in some cases huge budgets and according to formulas and what have you. And this is really something of and from the people. And I'm one of the people. And there's variation in it. There's complexity in it, but that's okay. You know, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be a little defiant. This is what art is, and trying to hope that people will come to see that as a good thing for us in our society, and that more will take on those challenges and sacrifices as well, just to keep that freedom and that space alive, to keep that perspective, you know, that ambition to try to pull things together, because building things and making things, you do learn, you grow, you become more empathetic, you're able to to share so much more with people just in the process of having to go through this, that you don't get when you're just spectator, consumer, or you're just working in essence in a larger realm that almost disconnects us more and puts you just in this area and only this area, and you don't really interact with that particular skill, and you don't interact with, the more you have to integrate, use what, everything you've got and try with whatever you've got, you know, to go for it. I think, I just hope that there's that, as I say, appreciation or, you know, inspiration if possible. You know, that's my ultimate goal, is that it's larger than just even being a particular perspective from dance. It's one of us. It's one in the community. We all need to, as I say at the very end, we all need to stick together and help one another and respect, get back to respecting one another, our various pursuits, and keep developing together.
Two other films that have come out I would recommend. The first is a new action thriller, Without Remorse, based on the Tom Clancy novel, starring Michael B. Jordan. It's about an elite Navy SEAL who uncovers an international conspiracy while seeking justice for the murder of his pregnant wife. It's the beginning of a series of films about a character who was in the Jack Ryan universe that Tom Clancy created. This is such a solid film. It's fun. The action's good. Michael B. Jordan is definitely an action hero for a new age, and not a great film by any stretch of the imagination, but if you like action spy thrillers, this is definitely up your alley. The other film that I'm going to mention is a film called Things Heard and Seen, which is technically a horror movie, but more of a thriller. It's about a couple who, after moving into a small town, suspect that their home harbors a dark secret. It stars James Norton, Amanda Seyfried, Karen Allen from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Natalie Dyer. It's a film that I think is effectively creepy. It's got lots of things and twists and turns and reveals, things that who you may think is the protagonist and who you may think is the antagonist may switch up a bit on you. I enjoyed this film. The ending is definitely a bit unsatisfying, but it's an interesting project from co-directors Shari Springer Berman and Robert Pulcini. I'd recommend it. It's on Netflix now. It's on Netflix now. Without Remorse is on Amazon Prime, and Grace Fury you can get on Vimeo on demand. I'm Mike Sargent. This has been Real World. If you've enjoyed this evening's show, please, please consider making a pledge to WBAI in the name of Real World. You can call. The number's back, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Make a pledge in the name of Real World. Support Free Speech Radio. And keep public radio, free speech radio, live. Until next time, I'll see you at the movies.
This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. The Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit proudly announces the Community Cares Listening Line for Black first responders and essential workers. We're here and we're listening. The Community Cares Listening Line is a free, confidential service staffed with responsive volunteers who can provide emotional support and share information with our callers. If you're feeling anxious, afraid, distressed, burdened, or overwhelmed by a range of emotions, please call the Community Cares Listening Line at 877-719-1117.
Tune in to the WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, May 1st at 7 p.m. for the Obie Award-winning Metropolitan Playhouse as they present Charles Foster's melodrama, Bertha, the Sewing Machine Girl. She yearns for more opportunity and money elsewhere, but not without her father's consent and her withheld wages. But fate and some people in her life have some other ideas.